internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and last week's show, Tyler Dunnigan made a joke about something, hoping I would go into a story.
Oh, really?
I decided to sit on the story. I will instead talk about it now.
Okay.
So back when I was, I believe, 15 years old, we had a Prodigy internet dial-up.
Nice.
I wasn't very familiar with how to maneuver the internet in regards to pornography. So I, you know, sex.com, tits.com.
Whitehouse.com, remember that?
I tricked a girl into doing that in high school, and I got in trouble for that. It's at Whitehouse.com. Go ahead, just go.
Type it in. Did you type it in yet?
She's very upset. That was W.L. Brown's niece that I tricked into doing that. W.L. Brown, from this area, played the retarded fellow in Something About Mary, and
oh, okay,
he was one of the bartenders in Deadwood.
I like how you're politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
The retarded fellow.
Fellow's the politically correct one.
Not guy.
Not guy. Not fellow. Guy. We keep it 100. But back then, the internet was so slow. I would go to like Playboy.com. Playboy.com was my staple because I knew they were there.
Right.
So
just giving it away.
Usually, it's true. Simple the month.
I know.
I still remember like 91. Miss January 91 was nice. But whenever I would find a picture that I would like, I very rarely had... Our computer was in the living room. So it was very rare that I had the computer to myself.
Right.
So when I did, I would manage to get a picture and print it out. Print out to keep it for use later.
Of course. Yeah, I did the same thing.
I did this for a while. I had it was phone book thick. And my mom was always like, why are we running out of ink so often? It would print out.
You got it cranked up to the highest quality. It's going to make those titties look so much better. I know. I've been there.
Like, and Playboy.com would print out two pages. One with the picture and the other with just the Playboy.com at the bottom. Several times I forgot to leave that, pull out that second page. And I would just take out the color picture, leave the one at the bottom. And several times my mom would be like, Tyler, why does it say Playboy.com? Brandon sent me that as a joke. Okay. Like, she didn't want to believe.
Denial.
She was in denial for a long time until the night of my 15th birthday, the night before I was leaving for church camp. She was helping me pack. Normally, I kept the huge stack dispersed evenly amongst my middle school annuals. Because, like, parents are not going into my middle school yearbooks, no matter what. So that's where I kept
them. No one goes there.
And I decided, I remember the day before, I was like, because I needed to use them. So I pulled them out, and I put them under one of my drawers. And because I pulled out the drawer, put it in the bottom, put the drawer back. I didn't put it in just right, so it had give to it. When mom was packing, she was like, oh, hey, this drawer's loose. She pulled it out. And like I said before, I come from an extraordinarily conservative Christian household. She pulls out that drawer, and I visibly see my mother's heart break, and she starts weeping. Just like, she gets up, she grabs the stack, and she's screaming at me. She goes in there and tells my dad, and my dad is screaming at me. And
what are they
very
screaming?
Upset. How could I do this? This is wrong. This is a sin. You shouldn't do this. Look how... It eventually got to how much ink you've used.
The root of the issue is ink is fucking expensive, man.
I was a complete asshole and blamed it on another friend of mine. I was like, he put it there.
Was that friend Tyler Dunnigan?
No, it was another Brandon. I knew various Brandons. Brandon's a popular name. And they made me call Brandon on speakerphone, and I had to confront him about it. I clung to my lie, though. I'm just two hands. I was like, why would you set me up like this, man? That's not right. It's a sin. And he was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And like, when I finally hung up, I was like, he doesn't want to get in trouble, mom. He doesn't want to get in trouble. My mom was, you know, denial. She was buying it. My dad knew I was full of shit, though. So my dad then starts going, he goes through every one of those. I mean, like I said, phone book thick. He goes through every one of
them. With you?
No, I was.
Because I imagine the interrogation room, like it's dark and there's a lamp and he's just throwing them out like you murdered these women. She look familiar to you, Tyler? What about
it's
this
like
one?
Dexter puts them in the kill right? table yeah. and puts them
You're
all
just
around
wrapped
me.
In plastic, just your dicks hanging out.
That's Africa. But he goes through every one of them and finds, I guess I couldn't find any more paper. And I grab one of my mom's church bulletins and print it out in the back. And he was like, no, I know your friend didn't come and plant this in the house. This is like, no, he came over here and took that and printed it out and put it in there. Still, my mom bought it.
Oh.
Of course, dad didn't. Ruined my birthday. I didn't know how to clear the internet history. And my dad was like, you're going to go away to, I don't know if we should let you go to church camp. Please let me go to church camp. Clearly, I need it. And he's like, okay, but while you're gone, I'm going to have somebody search this computer and find every little thing you've ever done. I stayed up all night long trying to delete, get rid of everything. Stayed up all night doing that.
You just ended up burning the computer.
Before they finally dropped me off at like 7 in the morning to go to church camp. That's the first half of that story.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to leave.
That's a cliffhanger?
That's the cliffhanger. I'll resume that story next week. That is part A of my birthday pornographic event.
I like this serial before the show. The Adventures of Tyler in Pornography. Hey, guys. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host. And this week, I paid a man $25 to look at my cooter.
Nice.
So that's a first.
Copay.
$21 is my copay. Through the act of vigorous lovemaking, I've managed to lacerate my urethra.
Ooh. Ooh. You, now you're stepping up your game here with this one.
Well, here, I'm saying it because I'm really proud. 3 days ago, the doctor said, no sex. Got to lay off. Came today, though.
Yeah, that's why you're in such a good mood. Okay.
I'm a trooper.
Nice.
But everything's going to be okay, I think.
Good. I can check it out for you.
First night was pretty scary. When you come and it's not white and it's red.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean it's supposed to be white?
Yeah, you like that.
You're playing in the big league, son.
It takes a lot to get me to go to the doctor, but when red cum is involved, I called into work. I was like, I had to tell my boss.
What are you calling to work with? Red cum, right. Or no problem.
Well, that's pretty much how my boss was. I was like, man, I'm really sorry, but I feel like I need to get this checked out because I woke up, I had scabs on the tip of my dick.
It's a good boss that you can just say that to, though.
Yep. And he's like, that's fine. You go. Get it taken care of. Get it checked out. You've given me something to laugh about all day. So
you've given laughs and a new nickname around the office.
Old scabby tip.
Scabs.
Old scab hole.
Scab hole. Fan art.
So besides pornography.
Pornography and rape.
In broken ass gooters, we also talk about some old games here, guys. Right now, we're playing our way through IGN's Top 100 Super Nintendo games, and we muse about our experiences on this very show. This week, Tyler, we are talking about Illusion of Gaia, which is IGN's, 74th ranked?
Before we get into what will inevitably, I'm sure, make Matt Barger either very happy or very sad.
Well, let's. Oh, you want suspense? Okay,
yeah, for suspense. What have you been playing anything this week?
I have.
Yeah.
I prematurely ended Immature Gaming Month because I wanted to just play games that I wanted to play.
Yep. I did not like Urethra Slicer. Didn't like it at all. Quit that.
And having the 3DS made me want to put Immature Gaming Month on hold because I got some games with the 3DS that I wanted to try. Of course, I've been playing still a lot more of Animal Crossing New Leaf, and I've come up with a great idea that I've shared with you for an expansion that they should do. They should do a murder expansion.
Yes, please.
Because you spend all this time creating your town and getting people to move, all these animals move in, and you start getting to know them and forming relationships. And then one day, one of them should just be murdered. You should just find them murdered in your town, and you have to figure out who murdered them.
When you told me about this, I like the idea that this expansion is black and white.
Yes.
Animal Crossing Noir.
Right.
You've got your fully overcoat on, and you're going through and you're questioning, trying to find...
Examining animal corpses.
Yep. And if it doesn't happen in, like a week, someone else gets murdered.
One of your other animals gets...
Yep. So you've got to catch the murderer in real time.
Yep.
Trademark.
Yeah, really. Well, we know a game developer. John Sullivan.
There you go.
Come on, man.
I'm sure Nintendo's probably pretty loose about
Let's
that.
Pitch you could this probably to Nintendo. But also, I've been playing Mario Kart 7 because I am a sucker for Mario Kart.
Ooh.
Love Mario Kart, as lovely listener Nicole Nance will attest.
Yep, I've seen you guys play a lot of Mario Kart on the Wii.
She's better than me on the Wii, but I'm pretty sure I could take her on the 3DS.
Pretty sure I'll whip that bitch's ass on the 3DS.
That's right.
She'll love that on the way to work.
Also, on the PC, I got accepted into the Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn beta test.
I like that. I'm excited to tentatively hear about how that is.
So Jess of Sook Street Post may be interested in that.
I told her that today, and she was very excited.
Final Fantasy XI together. I'm not allowed to talk about the game, but I am allowed to say that I do plan on buying it when it comes out.
Okay, good. Because I know you and then Sean Miller of Pilot Wings fame was also accepted into the beta. If he were here, he'd be like, fuck it, I'm talking about it. are they listening to the fucking show? Not likely. Sorry, guys.
We'll get them on for next week.
Yeah. It's a $500 episode because you're not supposed to talk about it. So you and Sean Miller is going to be worth your while.
That's right. And by that, you mean Sean and I both have to pay $500.
Yep.
Right.
Your non-disclosure agreement.
This will just handle all legal fees. What have you been playing this week, Tyler? Have you been playing anything?
Just Illusion of Gaia, because this week I became an adult and got a damn job.
I was supposed to play Illusion of Gaia?
Oh, shit. I've got Soul Blazer again.
I've got pages and pages of Final Fantasy 14 notes.
That we just cannot talk about. I made up.
You got a job.
I got a job.
Why are you doing that?
Megan Bradley was getting tired of just, you know, supporting me to get up at noon, drink coffee, and read Reddit from noon to 3. And then I would work out from like 3 to 4:30. It was just a much more refined masturbation process from 4:30 to bedtime.
She doesn't sound very supportive to me. She should support you in your dream.
I think the last time I was gainfully employed was early 2011.
That's more recent than I thought.
Yeah, a few months before we left DC, and then as soon as we came back here.
That's pretty good.
So then, yeah, school full time, but now I am back as the garmanger chef at JP's Bar and Grill in Paducah.
It's a good place to eat. I haven't been there since you started working, but I'm going to have to.
It's awful.
It just took a down.
I'm just sitting there just fucking everything up.
You were telling me earlier that you were taking some of your recipes from your Gastromancer's Guild
column
and trying it in the restaurant.
I did Pac-Man this week for Gastromancer Guild. I did a cherry strawberry and
pretzel.
I looked for pretzel. I tried finding a good pretzel recipe, but I couldn't find one that I wouldn't be taking from someone else. So the important thing is that I did cherry.
Ghost?
I guess ghost.
it's ghost pie.
I made a chilled cherry soup for the guild, and then I put it as a special in the restaurant.
Cool.
So
I've never had cherry soup.
It was because it's been like 95 degrees outside. That's why I did it. So a cold soup.
Then you make someone take a giant pill.
And I dress as a ghost and they chase me around.
Come on, man. This will help you kill ghosts.
Prove me wrong. Been working, trying to get on with the local CrossFit since I am now a CrossFit trainer, and working in a restaurant, and then spare time playing Illusion of Gaia. I'd probably be playing more Professor Layton, but Meg has been really into Animal Crossing, so.
Yeah, we've been trading fossils. It's pretty intense. So, you want to talk about Illusion of Gaia?
We should talk about it.
Should we talk about it?
We should talk about it.
Do you mind if I open with a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia?
See, that's a good segment. Please do.
Okay. Just in case someone out there doesn't know. Guys, Illusion of Gaia, also known in Europe and Australia as Illusion of Time. I think that's interesting. It's an action role-playing game that was released in 1994 for the Super Nintendo. It was developed by Quintet, our friends who developed Soul Blazer, which we talked about a couple episodes ago. Enix published the game in Japan and Nintendo published it worldwide. I think this is interesting that it's noted in Wikipedia that Illusion of Gaia was scored by Yasuhiro Kawasaki. And also, the character designs were done by a famous manga artist named Moto Hagio. And she is known for writing manga for 10 to 16-year-old girls.
Okay. All that makes sense. And I can see thinking that Frieden was designed to a target audience of 10-year-old girls. Yeah. There
you go. You mean Thor with a sword?
Yep.
Also, I want to throw this out there.
Or Fabio with a sword. You can go you either know, way.
Because I'm probably going to talk a lot about the story. I think that's where I'm going to hit on the most. They had a novelist actually write the story.
Where did they get this novelist from?
Mariko Ohara.
Mm.
She's a Japanese novelist.
Mm-hmm. Looked at her resume. She, before this, done a lot of NCIS fan fiction.
Yeah, a.k.a. Megs 246.
But before I started this game, mm-hmm. Matt Barger messaged me on Facebook. Very, very excited for us to do this game. He's like, this is one of my top 10 favorite games of all time. It's just, it's so great. I'm excited for you guys to do it. Can't wait to listen to the show.
Matt, go ahead and stop listening to the show right now, this episode.
You can stop listening to Dave's part. Mine probably isn't as brutal. We're switching the tables here for this time. I also was very excited. I had very fond memories of this game, mm-hmm. too, because myself, Josh Nance of Uniracers fame, and Ashley Shake, hopefully of Mortal Kombat 2 fame, we played this a lot. We really, really enjoyed this game. We would exchange tips and tricks. Like, this was our meetup. You know, on the playground and talk about a game.
Nice.
So I did have some very large nostalgia glasses.
And this would be a great game for that.
There are a lot of it, especially the Red Jewels.
Mm-hmm.
It's so obscure. But going into it, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great game. After playing it recently, I can step back and I have very mixed feelings about the game. I don't think it's an awful game, but it's certainly not as good as I remember.
So you're just letting Matt know right up front.
Not on my top 10 of all time.
Now, you mentioned Frieden.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the three characters that you can play in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're running around as either Will,
the main character.
Frieden. And Will is, by the way, the boy with psionic powers.
Mm-hmm.
He can move things. He's telekinetic. And mm-hmm. he has a flute.
Yep. He spins that flute and things come toward him.
Right. Then there's Frieden. Or Free Dan, as I prefer to call him.
Yeah.
Because he's Dan of the Free People, who is essentially a Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Dark Knight, Frieden. His skills are all dark-based. He's a Dark Knight. He has the Dark Friar ability as his...
Cool his... name. We don't learn much about Frieden.
No, almost nothing about him.
And there is Shadow.
Shadow is your...
He's the third character.
Yeah, he is your OP third character. But you don't get him until the last dungeon in the game.
Right. And I guess Frieden and Shadow are really just forms of Will, right? Is that right? Because it was hard for me to tell.
It's my understanding that they have lived or they do exist in some form or fashion, mm-hmm. but they can only come through as Will changing into them. Will is the conduit to allow them to manifest in the game.
Now, you mentioned Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Gaia?
Gaia is the spirit of the earth.
She also looks like a giant head of the chick from Power Rangers.
Yes, does look like Femme Zordon.
That's all I can think about every time you go to quote unquote dark spaces to talk to a giant head.
You start off as Will in school with his friends. Mm-hmm. You get dismissed.
You find out they all have shitty lives.
Yeah. Well, one of them is rich, but his parents fight a lot. In some form or fashion, it's a shitty life.
Right.
You go on the roof, and you see this ball of light suddenly turn into a door, and you walk in. Hey, you're in outer space. Hey, you're chosen to help save the world.
Yep. That's where you first meet Gaia.
Yep.
And she tells you exactly that, Will, you got to save the world, dog.
You notice you're psychic? That's important. It's important that you are.
That's right.
You should use that.
You need to leave home and go save the world.
Because Will's parents are both dead or went missing in an expedition.
Right.
And sent him back the flute is all he has to remember them by. He lives with his grandparents in the town of South Cape.
South Cape. Mm-hmm.
And they hang out in a clubhouse at the docks. He and his grandparents don't. He and his grandparents live in the dark. They have a nice house.
Destitute.
But you go to that dark space and you can turn and check the bell tower and you'll get a red jewel.
Right.
And then you jump down off the roof, which that's a nice animation. I've always enjoyed jumping off stuff in the game. And you meet the gem jeweler.
Right.
Who he will be in every town. He's a master of disguise. He'll look different every time you meet him.
Right.
And he will give you prizes in exchange for giving him red jewels.
And those prizes are usually ability boosts and that kind of thing.
Each of the stats, and then an increase to Will's psychic ability, an increase to Frieden's Dark Knight ability, and eventually his secrets. This is something I'll touch on it now, and we'll go back to it at the, end.
All 50, right?
All 50, you get his secrets, which I, as playing through as a kid, none of us did that. We could not get all 50 jewels. Mostly, I believe Shake came the closest.
Yeah.
He missed one. And it's bullshit.
Which one was it?
At the beginning of the game. Born of the Docks, and there's a guy fishing. He's like, there's something stuck here, and I can't pull it up. Go and meet your friends at their secret lair on the docks. You talk to them, it changes in a night, and you leave. You have to go in, but then come back out, and keep doing that enough times until that guy will spawn at a different spot.
Yeah, I saw he moved at a different spot for me.
Because there are three different spots he can be.
Oh, I see.
The rarest one is being right in front of the docks.
Oh, okay.
And when he spawns there, he'll give you, oh, hey, this is what I caught. Give you a red jewel. And I had to go in and out 30 times for it to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not something you're going to do. Because you're going to talk to your friends.
Right.
Yeah, you're just not going to do that. That's the one Shake missed. This playthrough, thanks to GameFAQs, I wanted to actually do it. I played through the game and got all 50 red jewels. We'll talk about the secrets of the gem jeweler later. But let's just say it made the game much less fun for me.
Really? Getting the gems?
Getting
or
the
what
gems
happened after you got
made
all 50?
It so frustrating because they're so obscure and so easy to miss, even just one, that I was so worried about getting all the gems in every new area because a lot of stuff you can't backtrack.
Right.
So if you miss one,
two-thirds of the game you can't go back to where you visited.
So if you miss just one, that's it. You can't get this special secret. Having to constantly look back and forth and make sure, and I was on edge about it until once I got to the dungeon and I got all the red gems in the area, then it was like a weight was lifted off my shoulders and I could enjoy the game.
Until you get to the next area?
Yep.
Right.
Once I knew, all right, now I got to worry about trying to find them all again before I leave. Not a fun mechanic in the end. I can't imagine how it was like before GameFAQs and before the internet and stuff when you knew where they were. Trying to find all these on your own and being worried about it. Oh, I want to do this. It would have just been maddening.
Right.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
And having this guy's secrets is taunting. But how they implement it, it's just awful. Plus, there's a 20 gem difference between the last stat boost and his secrets.
Because, it goes 30.
So you'll probably 50. Get all the stat boosts.
Right.
But more than likely, you're not going to find out why he's there. We've talked about it a lot. There are two things I wanted to bring up during our housekeeping segment.
Okay.
One, if you listen to the Madden 94 episode, you might have noticed while Tyler Dunnigan was going on a rant, there was a Mario pipe noise while he was talking.
What?
Yeah.
I was here when we recorded that. I didn't hear
that. He opened his mouth and it came out. Damnedest thing.
I didn't hear that.
It was like Police Academy. He made
We also referenced Police Academy that episode.
But no topic for Dave and I is off bounds. We'll talk about anything. Before we had, just between Dave and I, no one else really knew about it. Two words we said we weren't going to say. And Tal Dunnigan's rant, he's the first person who has uttered one of those words.
So that's the sound that you heard. One of those words just happened to be Mario going down a pipe.
Yep. If you want to guess what these two words are, just post that one on our Facebook group. Post that one word, all caps, bold, and just see if we can have a response.
Actually do it in your timeline. That's the only way it works. Post it to your timeline. We're going to monitor all your timelines to make sure.
So Dave and I are not pro-censorship at all, but two words, we feel like we would lose a lot of listeners if we started using those.
Well, not only that, there are two words I feel like carry a lot of connotations that I don't want to deal with.
As single, as straight white males, they're not in our jurisdiction to use.
Right. So speaking of things that are not in our jurisdiction,
I also wanted to reference Josh Edwards' call.
Oh.
Because normally pre-roll call, then we'll talk about it and thank them. Josh Edwards, you might notice his call was also pretty crystal clear.
Yeah, sounded good.
After the fact, Josh recorded an MP3 of his call and sent it to us, and then Nikki edited it in.
Yep.
Nikki edited it in.
Nikki edited
it. So that's
why
we don't reference it, and he sounds so good. But I just wanted to say, thanks for calling, Josh. I enjoyed your call.
Yeah. I did too. I didn't, obviously, no one edited that call because it was very long. Mm-hmm. But I honestly think his call was so good that I loved that all of it was run.
Yep.
Because he did a very good job talking about the game.
He did. I wish he lived closer. So, but no, he's got to live in, I believe he lives in San Diego.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to live in such a beautiful place?
People were Comic-Con, just down the road.
Weird.
What's the weather like there? Nice. There you go. All right. Back to Illusion of Gaia now.
So we find out that there's a comet.
There is a comet coming, and it's been affecting the Earth for some time.
Right. We're not sure how immediately. Mm-hmm. But it's rumored that whatever it is bad luck.
Mm-hmm. It's bad, and Will's the only one that can stop it.
Uh-huh.
Will, after he hangs with his friends, he comes back, and he finds out the princess of the country in which he lives, she's there.
Yep.
She ran away to Will's house.
Uh-huh.
Spoiled, rotten brat, heard her pig Hamlet.
Kara.
Mm-hmm. Kara.
That's his name.
You talk to her, she's kind of snide, but she likes you a little bit, mm-hmm. and your grandparents sort of like her, and then people come and take her away.
She looks like Lucy from Peanuts. No one says anything.
She does look like Lucy from Peanuts. Yeah, that's true.
The first time I saw her, I was like, well, it's Lucy from Peanuts. That's all I'm going to see.
Lucy with the pink dress. That's it.
The next 20 hours.
But then the king sends you a letter saying, I want your father's crystal ring. Bring mm-hmm. it to me. And your grandfather's like, we don't have it. Go to the king and tell him we're sorry, we don't have it. So then Will sets out on his journey to go to the kingdom. He tells the king, sorry, I don't have it.
Sorry, bro.
You can either lie to him.
Which I didn't do.
If he lied, he'd be like, well, show it to me. I don't have it. He sends you to jail either way.
The dungeon.
It's clear that King Edward is a pretty bad dude. Him and his wife are very bad people.
Is he a bad enough dude?
Bad enough. But Kara has been trying to escape out from underneath them mm-hmm. because they're oppressive toward her. But he throws you in jail. It happens to be a jail cell where it's very close to a dark space.
Right.
But Kara sends Hamlet with a key around his neck, mm-hmm. breaks you out. You can go into the gateway.
The famous pig jail breakout.
Yep.
I cannot verify this, but I do believe that was the original plot device in Shawshank Redemption.
The pig crawls through the sewers through that poster of a gives Andy a key, crawls back out.
They couldn't get Morgan Freeman to actually narrate it without laughing, so they changed the whole story.
The pig crawled through shit to freedom to give Andy the key. That's not Morgan Freeman, you're welcome.
That was good.
But then they throw you in jail, you slip into the dark space, and that's when you meet Freedan. Freedan.
Van of the Freeman.
So you transform into this very handsome, long, blonde-haired man with a sword.
Interesting, you use the word handsome.
Handsome.
I'm going to...
He's a handsome dark knight.
I'm going to Freud this shit.
See, the thing, I find this frustrating, that Will's the main character, mm-hmm. who's who you are the majority of the time, but they make him the least fun to play. You want to get into a dungeon and you want to be Freedan.
Yeah.
You want to get into the dungeon. You want to be Shadow. Will, by comparison, is very, very weak. His abilities aren't great.
Right.
He takes more damage, inflicts less damage. It's frustrating to play as Will. Mm-hmm. And as the main character, I feel like maybe over time he should get to compensate. But at the same time, okay, he is a 14-year-old boy. All right, yeah, you made him the weakest. He is wielding a flute, and he's 14. Okay.
What do you want him to do?
I don't know what I expected. But I was just spent the whole game wanting to be someone else.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Every dungeon I went into, I was exactly the same. Couldn't wait until I got to a dark space so I could change to Freedan.
Mm-hmm. Guess you walk in, there's the Zordon head, and then a left and a right, where there'll be like a pedestal of the Dark Knight and eventually a pedestal of Shadow the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
And then, yeah, you take a knee in so front of Freedan and transform ultimate. And of course, you get through the jail, you help Kara escape. Mm-hmm. Your friends then also want to accompany you on your journey.
Right. There's Kara, and then your three friends that had no personalities.
Yeah, well, let's see. There's Seth, who is nerdy.
And his parents fought, right? Mm-hmm. And they were the wealthy ones. Mm-hmm.
There's Lance.
Name another point of his character development.
Well, eventually,
it's a big one.
Eventually, Seth is eaten by a sea monster. and becomes the sea monster.
What?
But Seth was so smart, before he was eaten, he learned Morse code, and that's how he can communicate with you as the sea monster.
Once, later on in the game, just to let you know he's okay.
Yep. You guys are running away, and someone is like, what's that tapping? Hey, that's Morse code. This is Seth. The monster ate me. I am the monster now. Slowly losing my personality.
Signed, the monster. Seth.
Well, you got Lance, who seems like he's just like the nice guy best friend. Mm-hmm. And you got Eric, who's the idiot. Eric has zero character development besides just saying stupid things when you talk to him.
Now, Eric's the one with the love interest, right?
No, that's Lance.
Lance is. Eric's the one who gets kidnapped.
Eric has the bowl cut. Yeah, Eric keeps getting kidnapped and saying stupid things.
Sold into human slavery, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Not only human slavery, as opposed to animal slavery.
That's just what we do. You mean just having a pet, animal slavery? Yes.
Right.
Tyler and Dave decide to go vegan.
Okay, so you guys, what do? You got your friends, you got your princess. What are you going to collect some statues?
Yep, we need to find these mystic statues to help fight this bad luck comet.
All right, why?
You don't really find out at the end of the game what the mystic statues do, and even then it's weird and unclear.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to take a break right now just so I can feel better. The story of this game is interesting. The concept of this game is interesting. The script to this game is the worst script for a game ever. At no point did I know what the fuck was going on.
And it's so broken and jumpy and jilted. Yeah, it's next to impossible to keep up with everything.
I don't know if it was a translation problem. I'm assuming that it was because that is so prevalent in games of this time. Or if it was just written poorly to begin with. And also everything feels so Deus Ex Machina. Like, you meet Neil, who happens to be
he's your cousin.
Will's long-lost cousin.
Hey,
holy
man.
Shit. It's like this game, like the story is just one coincidence after another coincidence, and things just happen to make the story move along.
Yeah, that's very true. It's a ramshackled story between dungeons.
But that being said, I think if someone enjoys dungeon crawling, then this game has a lot to offer because the dungeons are very large, and I think they offer a good challenge.
Yeah, they continue to be challenging. I think the puzzles are interesting. The graphics are good. The colors are good. And the dungeons, it's laid out well.
Yeah.
Your level up system is different.
Yeah, it's you just get stat boosts.
You have to kill all the enemies on a screen and get a random stat boost.
It's nice because you're constantly upgrading. Like, I liked that. There's an immediate reward for clearing an area. But I like a game with a little more crunch. I like an RPG with a little more crunch.
Eventually, enemies are hiding, and then you have to spend a lot of time just trying to find something to stab when you just want to try to move on to the boss, you know, continue on, but you're trying to find a caterpillar you didn't see somewhere in this large, large dungeon so you can get more strength, defense, or health.
Right. And then there's no currency. There's just the gems.
Yep.
Which you use to gain more boosts and a secret.
One thing about the game, the dialogue is usually pretty quick, except when you find a special item. It slows way down. Like, they want you to know this item is fucking important. I laughed so hard whenever you're helping Kara escape the castle. And she's like, let's go get some food before we go. So you go down to the storeroom. Alice said, you check a barrel. There's the fanfare music. And very slowly, it's like, you found a delicious leg of yak. Okay.
I had the same reaction. Later on in the game, you get a letter from your grandparents, and it is like the most amazing thing happened in the world because the fanfare plays, and it slows down, and it's like, Will receives letter from, I can't remember his grandparents' names, like Lola and Bill.
Bill and Lola, yep. It's like,
all right.
Everything that's remotely important slows. They want you to know this is pertinent for some reason. This leg of yak, this is fucking important.
Yes, sir.
Bro, you want to address the overall story of the game? What the comet is and what it does?
Yes. If you plan on playing this game, we're about to spoil the shit out of it.
Yeah. Although, which, if you're going to play it, don't play it for the story.
Right. So the comet.
The comet. Apparently there are two comets. One being a good one, one being a bad one. The one that's coming and has been interfering with the Earth is the bad one. And its power is that it speeds up evolution.
See, okay. This is a fine example of why this story is so shitty, is you are telling a completely different story than I interpreted playing the game. 100% just completely different. We both played the same game, yet I thought there was one comet, and it came around every 100 years or so and stopped things from evolving.
Later on, you find out, like, through technology, people could harness the power of the comets and started making animals. Like, man harnessed the comet to make the camel.
Right.
But also, like, the bad part of the comet affects everything negatively, evolves in negative ways. Except for some reason, Will and Kara happen to be immune.
Well, because, come on, Will's the dark knight and Kara's the light knight.
Which I had no idea about that from any of my previous playthroughs. The last dungeon of the game.
It's another coincidence. You don't even know. Oh, the only way we could stop this comet is if there's a light knight and a dark knight. Guess what? We got two of them.
Well, see, like, she goes from stuck up and stubborn till her character evolves through, like, the hardships of the road.
Was it because of the comet?
Person.
Some camel manipulated her personality.
You found the camel manipulator. But Kara changes, eventually becomes a love interest. In the last dungeon of the game, you try to go through a doorway with, like, lasers going through it.
Right.
And it throws you back. You drop your flute. That crystal ring pops out of that fucking flute. And he's like, oh, he puts it on, goes through the door. And then right after he goes through, Kara pops out. He's like, how'd you get here? Oh, I found this ring on the ship. Oh, okay, come with me. And then when
that would have been useful information yesterday.
And then when you get to the top, in some weird Japanese way, Kara and Will meld together and form a version of Shadow that can do the Soul Blazer technique where whenever he attacks, a phoenix comes out.
Right. The Firebird.
Yep.
I believe they call it in Illusion of Gaia. So let me just take a moment just to reiterate how bad the story is. Or, I'm sorry, I think, like I said earlier, I think the concept of the story is pretty interesting with the comet and evolution and all that. Mm-hmm. This is an example of how bad the storytelling is. You said it right there. A good way to tell that story is when Kara finds the ring early on in the game, maybe she should mention it.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have something to call back to at the end of the game. You know, instead
of... She could be like, hey, I found this pretty ring. I like this. Right. And like, she's too selfish at that point and she won't give it to Will. Right. Or something like, yeah, exactly. Something.
And then you reference it later so it doesn't seem like you just tacked it the fuck on right when you needed that MacGuffin.
Trying to think what else made me laugh in the game. Another score that made me laugh. Oh my God.
Please tell me what it is. I've got something that just, I was roaring.
Well, let's see. When you find the starving people.
Thank God. Yes. Yes.
Well, one, Will is supposedly a pretty impressive guy, but these starving villagers just beat the shit out of you, tie you up, and they're about to kill you. But thankfully, Hamlet is there.
I assumed that they were cannibals. Did you assume this? I assumed that they were going to eat you.
Yeah, I did think they were going to eat you. I think they've been forced into cannibalism because they were starving, right, as opposed to they were just a tribe of cannibals.
Right.
Yeah, I thought they were going to eat you. That's true.
Which I found out later, just side note, they toned that down for the American version because in the Japanese version, they were very clearly going to eat you.
Mm.
And there were a lot more skeletons and a lot more references that these look like human remains that had been eaten, you know?
Oh.
So anyway, right. You're all tied up.
They're about to kill you.
Oh my God.
And Kara's pig,
Hamlet, who we have not seen
since
the fucking prison. Somehow appears from thousands of miles away.
Well, he got shipped.
Well, right. Okay, I'm sorry.
the shipping company. Will's cousin, Neil.
Neil.
He's an inventor, genius inventor.
He invented the airplane.
Yes. He's also...
in the camera.
His parents own the world's largest shipping company.
Uh-huh.
So they ship the pig for you.
Pigshippers.com. Touching buttholes since 1994.
Hamlet, as everybody's telling him, he walks up to Kara, and Kara's like, Hamlet, what's wrong? I feel like something is going to happen. We're not going to see each other anymore. And then Hamlet jumps into the fire, killing himself and giving the villagers something to eat so you can get away.
Okay, this is where I was like, whoa, that is kind of shocking, but kind of shoehorn. The moment where Will's dead mother came out of the pig, I lost my mind, Tyler. I lost my mind laughing. That was my turning point in the game where I could no longer take it seriously. Hamlet throws himself on a fire, and in its place, Will's mother appears and performs a monologue. Did Hamlet eat his mother?
Well, it also makes it clear that Hamlet chose to do this for you, so he wasn't possessed by Will's mother. So it's just like Hamlet was apparently an awakened pig that decided,
I guess,
I love you, I'm going to jump in this fire.
love you, Will's mom. Maybe he's like a biological ghost trap from Ghostbusters.
Nice. The thing is, like, he sacrifices himself. They eat him. Of course, only Eric's, the insensitive asshole, is like, oh, he smells pretty good. And then apparently they're nice to you. You can then talk to them a little bit, yeah, and you just leave. Uh-huh. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yep.
Three of them are turned to stone in a hut.
Yes. You feed them flower petals.
Mm-hmm. You go to what I thought was one of the more fun dungeons, Angkor Wat. And yeah, you get the Gorgon flower, mm-hmm, come back, you give it to them. They can't communicate with you. One of them gives you a red jewel, right, if you talk to them again. And that's it. Then you just keep moving.
That's it.
And occasionally a boss will drop a mystic statue. There's another character named Lily.
Yes.
Lily can turn into a dandelion.
I actually like Lily. Now, out of all the characters, I thought Lily was the most interesting because she came from an invisible village.
Yep. She had to play a song to be able to see.
Exactly. Which it's handy that you've got a flute.
And your mother happened to know the song and leaves it to you.
Mm-hmm. And you can play the Melody of the Wind, I believe it is.
Because I know there's one that you have to play to see the village. Maybe that's the wind. And there's another one you have to play to open a statue's mouth for you to go into the dungeon a little bit after that.
I know there's Melody of Memory as well that you use to restore your friend's memory.
Yep.
After he is sold into human slavery, mm-hmm, as we've already covered.
Well, and you talk to an NPC who's like, hey, could I have the items you found in this dungeon as a memento of our time together? I don't think you'll need them anymore. And then he walks away, taking the song from you. Right. You forget the song. Okay, one thing I did like about the game is that I'm glad you said the translation thing, because it doesn't shy away from certain topics. It doesn't shy away from death and evil.
Right.
It directly can, you know, people are like this.
Yep.
Like, King Edward is a controlling manipulator. He's been playing you from the beginning. He wants the power to control the comet.
Right.
An irredeemable force bad. Eventually, in a sort of a Breaking Bad type thing. In one of the villages, there's a guy who's been diagnosed with a disease, and he starts playing a poisonous drinking game.
Right.
In order to gamble and raise enough money so that his wife.
It's essentially Russian roulette with poison glasses of water.
Yes. You ride a lily pad over the secret raft, uh-huh, where you're doing it. And since Will's psychic, when you go up to the glass, you hesitate, like you don't want to drink it. So it ends up where it's only your competitor and the poisonous glass.
So you cheat to kill this man.
Yes. You cheat to kill this man. He drinks the poison. He dies.
Which is very Japanese, by the way. That whole scene where he drinks, everyone's like, no, don't drink it. And he's like, I have been beaten. I have been beaten. I must drink it. No, please don't drink it. It would be shameful for me not to drink this.
And he wills you his kangaroo horses.
Uh-huh. Crux.
Oh, to get one of the red jewels, you have to return escaped slave back to the slave traders. I think that's one I missed when I played through, because I didn't want to turn the guy in.
Yep, I didn't get that either. Because, you can turn in a human slave, not an animal slave, into a shady-looking character in a purple cloak.
And so all throughout the game, you see it in a lot of different villages that there's a lot of human trafficking going on, mm-hmm, in this comet-altered world. You're not sure. It doesn't seem like they're doing anything toward the big boss of the game. It's not like this dark Gaia is leading this just to make suffering. There just happens to be this human trafficking going on. And then it turns out Neil's parents are part of this.
What?
But they're actually spirits, evil spirits.
What?
And I'm trying to think, some other people are involved. But Neil becomes president of the company. Yep. So now he has lots of money and an airplane.
Right.
And he helps you out.
Well, he builds another airplane because he wrecks the first one.
Mm-hmm. It's clear this is Earth, but the evolution of the comet has made it like an alternate dying Earth. It's made Pangaea has happened differently because of the comet.
I had such a hard time getting over the world because I thought it was, I did not like the world building in this game because I felt like it was super lazy that they were taking things from the real world instead of developing their own things. I appreciated what they were doing later on in the game when it's revealed to you that the comet is fucking with evolution and that the whole time, you know, there's this reveal the whole time. It's been the real world all along. In the beginning, I thought it was just lazy because I was like, they don't want a world build. They're just taking things from history and putting it in the game. So I had a really hard time dealing with that. And I kind of wish there was some kind of... The real problem is that because of the poor script, I had no faith that that was actually... That all these real-world things had any significance at all.
Yeah. What do you think about going to the Great Wall of China when you have to do that?
That really bugged me.
Lance is in love with Lily. When he tries to tell her, she rejects him, and he runs away to the Great Wall. And you have to just chase him all throughout. There's samurai there shooting arrows at you. They're just there. You don't get on my wall, arrow. Which apparently I didn't use it very often, but very important that you use Will's telekinesis to deflect almost any projectile that comes at you, the direction that you're facing.
I learned that in the Sky Gardens with the constructs that do rocket punch.
Yeah, no, I didn't do it nearly enough, but it's very important. Frieden also has telekinetic abilities, so he can also block.
With his sword.
Shadow is OP because Shadow blocks in all directions. All
right.
Will and Frieden only in the direction they're facing.
Shadow's essentially Carnage. Like, his attacks are all, like, symbiotic flashings.
Shadow is the light of the good comet that has taken physical form.
Okay.
So when you get, when you're him, you tell he's like, he looks like a blue being that's on fire. And his attacks are, he does Carnage out, like his attacks
are
a long arc and they reach very far and they're more powerful than all the other characters.
But I thought Shadow was the manifestation of the Light Knight and the Dark Knight together.
Shadow's final form is the expression of that.
And see, I thought that the six statues you collect is what gives you the Firebird.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Is like, we both played this game. We both saw this game from the start to the beginning, and we've got two different recollections. You played it a lot more than I did, and you played it as a kid, so I'm assuming that what you're saying is correct. It's just bothersome to me that we played the same game and have come back with some two different stories. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know. I guess it makes sense to me. That's another reason I think it's translated poorly is because everything is so vague. Everything anyone says to you can be taken in so many different ways. Where it's like, I remember Gaia saying that Shadow's a formless manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, sure. I like the image of, all right, Lance's heart, he's heartbroken. Mm-hmm. So he's able to run through all these samurai to some part of the Great Wall. But Will comes through and just like beats all these samurai to death with a flute. Just walking in, just flute, just beat down until he gets to Lance's like, she didn't like me. And then she likes to turn into a dandelion. She stays in Will's pocket. So then she comes out of his pocket. She's like, hey, I do like you. And then they're together.
Yep.
At the loss of 200 men.
The archer's boss, I had been really mad that day. What happened? I leave for 30 minutes and a 15-year-old boy with a flute kills 200 of my men?
But he turned into a large man with a sword for just a little while.
He did have a dandelion in his pocket. If that makes a difference.
Where's the giant centipede? Oh, shit.
This game did have, despite my problems with the story, I think it had, honestly, the most impactful story moment for me out of all the games we've played so far for the Super Nintendo, and that is the Jackal.
Mm.
The Jackal is a hunter that King Edward has hired to to find Will.
Mm-hmm. After he's the world's most dangerous, prolific bounty hunter.
And you don't see him at all the entirety of the game until the first time you... The first time... What I'm trying to say is the first time you meet him is the last.
Mm-hmm.
He finally shows up. And this is where I think they actually did the storytelling was really good, because they mention the Jackal several times before you meet him. They actually do build up some anticipation where it's like, oh God, when I meet the Jackal, shit might get kind of hairy because I'm going to have to fight him. He's obviously a badass. You finally meet him and you're, I assume we're fixing to square off and throw down. And what do? You
play that song.
You play the flute. Fire shoots out from the columns in the temple and just burn that motherfucker just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a gruesome death scene.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a gruesome death scene. I was floored by it, and I thought that it was amazing. I thought that was the best part of the entire game, is where it just happens. He immolates and then just slowly dies in front of you. Although it's funny that Will and Kara really don't give a shit. Like they're
standing there. Kara's slowly backing away as the Jackal's dragging himself across the floor. Kara, Kara.
It's like the end of Terminator, man. So I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that part. I wish more of the story would have been like that, where it's actually set up properly and builds up anticipation and doesn't feel like it's, oh, by the way, I hired a hunter named the Jackal, and here he is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
If a well-thought-out HD remake of this game would probably be pretty good.
I think it'd be awesome. If the script was rewritten, I think you could mesh some really good action. Because I think going through the dungeons is fun, and a lot of the dungeons are interesting, like the Sky Garden, where you've got a top side, and then you can go underneath it, and there's a whole different bottom side. Mm-hmm. It's two dungeons in one, essentially, is a really cool concept.
Moving things on the top affects the bottom, and vice versa. Yeah, the dungeons were good. I enjoyed the pyramid the most, because that's where you finally get Shadow, and you have to take his liquid form, because the pyramid is almost entirely underground.
Right.
And once you get there, six doors, each with a hieroglyphic plate you have to decipher, and you have to go through different rooms as Will, Frieden, and Shadow.
Right.
Before you can collect them and go up, and that's what... Then after you collect them and figure out, you see your dad wrote a book to you, and you have to... You organize the hieroglyphics, and that's when the Jackal catches you.
Yeah, the puzzling. I like the puzzling aspect because these small little puzzles really fit in, I think, with the dungeon crawling.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. I think this game has a lot of cool mechanics, and I had a lot of fun playing it. I just did not have a good time trying to follow the story because I like narrative. And it was frustrating for me because I was really trying to follow the story, really trying. And I could not for the life of me. And I felt like it was just, that's the biggest shortcoming, was that it's an action RPG that doesn't tell a story well.
No, yeah, totally right. Thinking back on it, I remember what was the hardest part then and held up now. The most difficult part is fighting the vampires. The spike in difficulty when it comes to that fucking boss is just... I was just surprised, like, why is this so difficult?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only part of the game. I think I used 5-6 herbs.
It's just the only healing item in the game.
The only healing item. It only heals, like, five points,
and
really.
You can't, unlike in Soul Blazer, you can't go back to town and get a free herb.
Yep. You get your hit points refilled at in dark spaces, but they're not nearly as prevalent.
Doesn't that sound like the name of, like, an early 1990s horror show?
Dark Spaces. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Followed by Dark Spaces.
Followed by Hitchhiker.
But I remember the vampires. I remember the pyramid. I'd blocked out just a lot of shit in between. Clearly, the worst dungeon in the game. Like, I went in and I fucking hated it. If that part, it would be a much better game if the plant dungeon was just gone.
Yeah, the quote-unquote mountaintop.
Yes.
With all the fungus.
It doesn't make any, like, you're just the mountaintop, but it's just like vines. You have to get tears that grow these vines. Right. And
you sprinkle them to make more grow.
It is not fun, and it's very confusing. It's just, all the other dungeons I felt were very good.
Yeah.
Except for this piece of shit. Now we get hit on my secrets. We've only talked about everything, so now let's talk about the gem collector.
And that's good, because it's going to lead into something that I've been dying to talk about.
Because when you finally collect all 50 gems, which the last dark space in the game before the final boss, there will be a spirit. The final gem is in the final dungeon. Once you find it, the guy will be like, all right, would you like me to take you back to the gem collector? Yes, please. Go back, give him the jewels. And he's like, oh, 50 jewels. I guess I have to tell you my secret now. And then blackout, wake up.
He wants to tell you a story about a mansion he found.
Yeah, you wake up in...
I believe that's what he says.
A creepy magician's mansion. And there's like this, a haze of ghosts flowing around. There's this large picture of a magician. And you're going through fighting random enemies. It kind of sucks. You don't get any additional power-ups from fighting the enemies. There's one herb in the dungeons. There's no like good equipment or nice.
There's no equipment in the game.
Yeah, I mean you don't earn anything good from doing it. It's not that difficult, but it's pretty short. And then when you get to the boss, when you walk in,
who is it, Tyler?
It is the
Tyler.
First boss from Soul Blazer.
Yes,
it's the same dungeon, the exact same setup
with the conveyor belts, the three conveyor belts. Mm-hmm.
And there I did not expect that at all.
No, I didn't
at all. Blew my fucking mind. Which, if I had collected all 50 gems as a kid and played this, it would have had no impact.
I know.
At all. So now I...
But because we played Soul Blazer,
yep,
we had a built-in appreciation.
It's much better.
Yeah.
It's pretty difficult.
Yes.
Difficult fight. You have to use your telekinesis. Like, I did kind of a trick between a fast hit and then just trying to block everything he spits at you on one conveyor belt. Mm-hmm. It took me several tries, but got it done. It turns out that whenever the Soul Blazer kills the first boss, he scatters his essence in 50 red jewels.
Right.
He started the human trafficking in order for people to try to mine these and bring these gems together. Wasn't happening fast enough. He finds Will, and then Will does it all for him. So now the 50 gems were ignited. He's reborn again, and now he's going to kill Will.
Yep. I thought that entire thing was cool. Mm-hmm. I really did. I really liked the twist that... I believe his name is Jeweler Jim.
Something like that, yeah.
Jeweler Jim has been using Will this entire time. Mm-hmm. I like that, and I definitely love the callback to Soul Blazer. There are more callbacks to Soul Blazer.
Although, whenever you beat him, he says, oh, you are much stronger than the Soul Blazer. It's like, bullshit, Will is much stronger than the Soul Blazer. That is absolute horseshit.
Yeah, Soul Blazer was strong. You are stronger. What are some of the other callbacks to Soul Blazer? These are my favorite things in the game, with a callback to Soul
Blazer. You tell me. Maybe I missed more of them.
Okay, in the game, you find a Mayan ship, and it gets attacked by Riverson.
Yes.
The sea creature.
The sea monster, yes.
You're adrift at sea for a couple of weeks, you and Kara. You black out from scurvy, I believe it is.
Yeah, you're right, it was scurvy. Get scurvy.
After, by the way, you survive that by beating fish with your flute.
Yep. Eat that fucking lucky yak and get you back to the first of it, and then you have to beat down fish.
So Will blacks out, and then he wakes up in a village, and you find out who saved Will. Do you remember who saved Will?
Was it Turbo?
Turbo the dog. Yes. Turbo the dog. And as soon as I saw him on the screen, I was like, it's Turbo! And then they say, Turbo saved you. Yes. Yeah. So that's a callback to Soul Blazer that I found. Another callback to Soul Blazer that I found is in Frisia, one of the cities. Mm-hmm. You see a couple in a window, and they're obviously kissing or snuggling.
Or you walk up and they back away.
You walk up and they're turning different directions. And when you talk to them, the woman says, there was something in his eye. Which is exactly, that's the same exact thing happens in Soul Blazer in the King's stage. Because it's a soldier in one of the barmaids.
I didn't connect that until you said that, but yep.
That's all that I found. There may be more. Something that I think that I need to note. You talked about the vampire fight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was cool. I liked them as bosses. What I think is interesting, most interesting thing about that fight is... Your friend, I believe it's Eric, once again, Eric's in trouble. He is tied to a comically large, pulsating Danger Mouse bomb.
Yep.
And there's a timer over it, and you have to beat the vampires before it gets to zero. Now, I was not in this situation. I never let the timer get down to zero.
I didn't either.
I didn't really have the chance. Because it's, you know, you will die before that timer hits zero.
Yeah, they're
you
don't fucking know what brutal. You're doing.
So I want to know what happens when it hits zero. Maybe that should be an achievement.
Boom goes the dynamite. There you go.
I thought that a lot of the city names were awful.
Watermia.
Watermia and Angel Village, where all the angels live.
Yep. The people who haven't evolved because of the light, because they were underground. And
which I think is also a little social political commentary because they're all women.
That's true. Except, well, there's one man who can paint and trap people in his paintings.
Who is named Ishtar and Iztar. Sometimes they call him Iztar. Sometimes they call him Ishtar.
I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just throwing that out there.
So then he ends up, after you beat his puzzles, and then he ends up painting himself into a painting and trapping himself and killing himself. And then that's where he paints Kara, and you have to free her from a painting.
And that, I guess that's, you know what? I didn't think about this. That is probably another Soul Blazer callback.
You're right, from the very first dungeon, going into the evil painting. From
the first dungeon in Soul Blazer, yeah. Yep. Going into that painting. Is it revealed who painted it in Soul Blazer?
It was one of Dr. Leo's friends, but it wasn't Dr. Leo.
Maybe it was Iztar.
But after, let's see, after you go and beat the final boss, which its first form is just like a mouth on the world you have to hit with Firebird enough, and then it turns into Dark Gaia.
Right.
And it's nigh impossible if you don't block. But once you block as Shadow, it's a cakewalk of a boss fight. But you beat Dark Gaia and you're standing on the comet. All the previous bosses, you go to the Tower of Babel.
Boss Gauntlet.
Yeah, you have to do the demon bosses. But the real bosses are there as well, and they take you to the top of the Tower of Babel. Yes.
Because they're no longer under the influence of whatever was making them bad.
Yep. So yeah, Vampire Bill, let's call him Vampire Bill, True Blood callback. He takes you most of the way. The Egyptian flying statue takes you up. Then you and Kara unmeld, standing on the comet. Will's parents show up and tell him, okay.
Their spirits do.
Yeah, they're spirits. You meet all the spirits. You meet Hamlet's spirit.
Uh-huh. It's like the end of Return of the Jedi. All the ghosts are there. Tell you did such a good job.
Because you're talking to everybody, then you talk to Hamlet, and his spirit just says, oink, oink. And then Will, of course, there's no difference between animals and humans. Why wouldn't Hamlet be here?
Animal slavery.
Yep. And then they're standing there. They talk to Will's parents, who's like, all right, well, now you're going to reverse all the evolution that's been done. You guys aren't going to know each other. You're not going to know any of the people. And then you watch what is then the world map turn into modern world map.
Yeah, kind of.
And Will get...
It vaguely resembles our map.
At one point, Will gets a vision of the future, which turns out to just be a cityscape.
Right.
He's like, that just looks horrible. There's no green.
There's gray everywhere.
Yeah. But then you watch Kara and Will have a tearful departing, like, well, whoever we are in the future, we'll find each other. You know, I'll scale the world. I'll walk 1,000 miles, blah, 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 and find you again. And then... Game ends, mm-hmm. Credits roll, and then
tears roll.
It's just tore up. And at the very end, you see modern Will in high school, the bell rings, and then you see all his modern friends, including Kara, all coming toward him across the street. Mm-hmm. So, and apparently the Empire State Building is the Tower of Babel.
Is that what the tower was?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
Or I don't know, what's the tallest building in Tokyo? Might have been that.
Ashley Shake, call in. Let us know what the tallest building in Tokyo is.
When you hear this 6 months from now.
Well, yeah. You know what I like to think? I like to think that all of this happened because the Soul Blazer decided to come to Earth.
It might be true. He came down from the heavens and messed up these comets.
And decided to live amongst the mortals, so he wasn't able to do the job that Will needed to do. That's what I like to think. But I also like to think that because I thought Soul Blazer was a much better game than Illusion of Gaia.
It had a more simple, understandable story. If you could have taken the Soul Blazer and maybe put him in like a dungeon Maybe made the dungeons more complex than they were, with a little more variety.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's an equal balance between these two games would have been amazing.
There were parts of this game, there were parts of Illusion of Gaia that I thought were really good. I thought that the art direction was really nice, because this game looks a lot better than Soul Blazer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is animated nicely. I honestly think that the music is great. It's a little sparse because they reuse a lot of songs, mm-hmm. but the music that's in the game is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It's very good what's there. And I noticed there's one NPC who's talking to you at one point. It's like, "Well, I wish I had hair as silky and luxurious as yours. Only Will and Frieden's hair will move in the entire game." Wind, because you see, if like you come like a secret passage,
right.
You'll see wind moving through their hair. No one else has, like, until the end, a running animation or a hair blowing animation. Because Will will be running and Kara's behind him just doing a walk at a slightly faster pace.
Right.
Overall, a mixed bag when it comes to Illusion of Gaia. I still enjoyed it, but mm-hmm. as an adult, there are so many glaring errors about it.
As much shit as I gave it, I think that if you're a fan of the genre, you will enjoy the game mm-hmm. to a certain degree, particularly if you enjoy the mechanics more than you enjoy coherent story.
Yeah.
I'm sticking by. I think this game belongs on the list. And honestly, I do think it's in the right place on the list. But I do think that Soul Blazer is in the wrong place.
Yeah, I think it should be higher. Especially higher than at least SWAT places with this.
Yeah.
Probably Madden probably shouldn't be sandwiched in between, be the cream in that Oreo. But
right. That's a weird Oreo. Do you have achievements for this game, Tyler?
I do have achievements.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
I actually have one prepared because I could not help it.
Yeah.
And it was, as it happened in the game, it came to me and I wrote it down. What do you got?
Gotta catch them all.
Collect all 50 gems.
Right. And then Will, Destroyer of Worlds. You have the option of being Frieden for most of the fights,
mm-hmm.
but doing every boss that you can do as Will.
I have become Will, Destroyer of Worlds.
14-year-old flute-wielding boy just beating down vampires and mummy ghosts. And that's an arduous task to do. I can't imagine trying to beat both. I was stuck in the game as a kid because I couldn't figure out where Frieden was in the vampire fight. So I just, no matter what I did, I could not beat them as Will. Mm-hmm. Could not do it. So
Will inspired me for my bard that I'm going to be playing in one of your upcoming games.
Nice.
So don't be surprised if he has a flute that he used to beat demons.
He's got a flute and dead parents. All right.
The cornerstone, any great bard.
He's got these strange grandparents who like to make snail pie. And
also, this pig ate my mother. Don't worry. We'll see her again in the great ghost pig barbecue.
The great scuba in the sky. Larry, what's your achievement?
I have an achievement. Forgive me. I know this is overplayed, but it's so, so good and fitting. My achievement is the cake is a lie. And the reason you get this achievement automatically, as it's one of those nice achievements that you just get that's unlocked as part of the story. During the game, someone has a birthday. Is that right?
Probably.
Kara has a birthday.
Okay, yes.
And Neil, the inventor, makes a cake. And yeah. He makes a joke that making the cake was harder than inventing the airplane. So everyone sits down to eat. Cake's on the table. A dialogue balloon appears. It says, after the party, cake's still on the table. No one has eaten it. No one has made any mention of the fact that the cake is still there on the table. And they even say, oh, that was such a good birthday party. Cake's still on the table. Scene ends. Motherfucking cake is still on the table. Neil obviously put a lot of effort into this cake. I think someone should at least try it. I know he's an inventor, but please, let's humor him. He is your long-lost cousin, after all.
His character design is so bad.
Yeah, he's all just like olive green.
It's like he's wearing an olive green onesie with hood. And you see he has a rat tail. When he walks, it swishes behind him.
Yep, so the cake is a lie. Automatically unlocks as that scene ends.
That's good.
So, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Are you ready to talk about beards?
Mm, I'm always ready to talk about beards.
If you had a beard that swashed around when you were standing in front of a secret passage?
A silky luxurious beard.
What kind of silky luxurious beard would that be?
I wish I got a silky luxurious beard, but I went with a black goatee that you had in college.
Okay, that I had in college?
Well, that in general you will have in college.
Will.
Eventually when he gets there. It's a good idea at the time, mm-hmm. and you remember that goatee fondly, but you grow another goatee, and you're like, this looks awful.
The beard I had named Soul Blazer years before was superior.
Yeah.
If you had to assign this game, let's say a pair of glasses, Tyler, what kind of glasses do you think you'd give it?
I would give this a pair of black crystal glasses that block out a lot of light.
That sounds familiar. I think I might have found a pair of those in the game.
You find them on the ground randomly, and that's what you need to progress through Angkor Wat. Because when you go up to that one stage, lots of crystals floating around that just reflect light, and you can't see anything in that room
until
you
have
those glasses on.
A cool idea. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a reflection of how well the dungeons are designed. Mm-hmm.
But of course, those black glasses, you need them, you get them, they're only good for that one room. Yep. They don't even make it look dark at any other any other rooms, but you can wear them all the time. So they're good when you need them, mm-hmm. but otherwise unnecessary.
Also, you can wear it as a disguise, and the two guys in the morgue won't recognize you.
A zombie!
That's right, that's a Shadowrun callback.
Throwing them back. Yeah. Overall, I'm glad we went back to it. Soul Blazer went back, got 100% completion on Illusion of Gaia. I feel better about myself.
Vindicated.
Having know about the gem jeweler.
Matt, I'm really sorry I didn't like this game as much as you. I would put it in the top 100, but man, I think you need to reevaluate your top 10.
We should all play through our top 10 games again and see if they withstand the test of time and it's just not fond nostalgia. I guess I feel bad if Matt's like, I played that game last week and it was fucking amazing.
Hey, if that's the case, I'm happy for him.
Yep.
I really am. I wish that I could have found as much enjoyment in the game as he did. It failed at crucial points for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some people called us.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. I'd like to hear from them.
Hey, guys. It's Paul Quill again. Sorry about last week. Got caught up in other things. However, I do have an idea for you. If you guys play these games, how about hosting a Twitch TV account, letting us watch a little bit of you guys playing? Good idea. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Paul. I like that suggestion. We did it once.
Mm-hmm.
Dave did it for Uniracers.
We do have a Twitch account.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, in order to stream it reliably, we need an external capture card. And the best value that I could find for one is like $300. I would love to get one. I would love to stream. That would give us the ability to stream not only these old games that we're playing, but we could stream new games as well.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've put it on my Amazon wish list. I may get one day. And if I do, we can start doing that. But until then, I just wasn't happy with the quality that we were getting. Mm-hmm.
Paul mentioned a kit you offered to start a Kickstarter for us before to get all these games. So we're all down to find out that Kickstarter project to give you the best Tadpog experience.
I think Kickstarter's going to be like, are you serious? You have a Kickstarter for $300? We might be able to issue a press release.
It's all we need.
Lowest ever Kickstarter.
I would love to do that for, especially like Final Fantasy VI and Earthbound.
Ooh,
would be very nice.
That'd be a long playthrough, but worth it.
Well, because we could try the Final Fantasy VI 5-hour challenge.
Right.
So
I don't know if I'm ever going to be up for that challenge.
It'd be rough. We get an external capture card, I will attempt the 5-hour Final Fantasy VI challenge.
That's the first and only tier of Kickstarter rewards. Donate at least $1 and Tyler will attempt the Final Fantasy VI 5-hour challenge.
Donate all $300 and just you get to watch the Final Fantasy VI playthrough.
Tyler and I may or may not be dressed as Chester the Cheetah.
Maybe, yeah, we don't know.
Got another call. We got a lot of calls.
Good. People like us. I like it. Keeps the gun in my mouth.
Okay, so Tyler, our next call.
Hmm.
Is from Superfan, Dennis Robinson.
He owns a very large fiefdom in the Tadpog.
He does.
World.
For letting us stay at his castle.
Mm-hmm. And buying us donuts.
In the land of St. Louis. Yeah, that went a long way too. We called out to him in the last episode where we talked about Madden NFL 94. And we told him to call in to correct us on a few things. I don't know if you can believe this or not. We messed a few things up. Here's what Dennis had to say.
Hello, Tadpog. This is Dennis. Just got done listening to your Madden episode, and it's everything I thought it could be. You guys really capture what it's like to be a sports fan in America. And I just call him in to kind of fill in some of the gaps, which were only every other moment. But it was a great episode, and I enjoyed listening to it. But Tyler had said he thought the person who had the longest punt in NFL history was a guy with half a foot, which is kind of true. The guy with the longest field goal named Tom Dempsey played for the Saints, Dave. The Saints had the longest field goal of all time. Now it's tied with 63 yards, and he was born with half a foot. I can see the confusion, Tyler. A punt is like a kick. It is a kick. It's the one where they hold it on fourth down and throw it in the air and kick it to the other team. A field goal is when they have it on the ground and put it to the uprights, as Dave said. But like, one of my favorite things was the point after, the punt after. You know, you guys pretty much had that right. I wondered if maybe Tyler would get confused about PAT, which is the point after attempt, because earlier in the episode he talked about the plays that confused him most. It was the ones that he thought had something to do with his throwing a pass to his father, the PAW, the PA, or the play action, which is what PA stands for. Play action is when you fake a handoff, fake a run, and then throw a pass. And so play action near would be a close pass, and play action far would be a long heave, you know, the Hail Mary, if it were. And then the other thing, being the huge Bears fan that I am, thanks for getting right the Refrigerator Perry reference. He did indeed play for the Bears. However, he did not invent the head slap. That was invented by Deacon Jones. Although he even said he didn't invent it, he just mastered it to a point that they outlawed it in football. You can no longer head slap because he's just knocking people silly. The late, great Deacon Jones, who played for the Rams, and Merle Olsen, who played alongside him, which was later on, like Little House on the Prairie, to give you some pop culture reference. The play you were trying to figure out when someone just falls down after catching the ball from the other team, that is kind of taking a knee. That's a touchback where they go into the colored grass and take a knee, and that way they get the ball on the 20-yard line as opposed to risking fumbling as they run it out. And taking a knee is technically when the quarterback at the end of the game steps back and takes a knee to run out the clock to win the game. The next thing is, I remember you guys saying you wasn't sure which teams existed. Tyler wondering if the Oilers were a hockey team or a football team. They were at one point both, and the Oilers moved from Houston at one point after the Texans had left, so multiple teams left Houston. They just don't want them there. And the Oilers moved to Tennessee to become the Tennessee Titans. So as far as the list of the teams that you gave to that were the original members, it's kind of a convoluted question because there were so many little teams back then that weren't necessarily part of a league, and then there was some that were, but the original ones were pretty much what Dave mentioned with teams like the Canton Bulldogs and the Akron, whatever they were. There was a lot of little teams throughout, so it's kind of hard to track through history, and I don't even have that list. You know, and after all this, I know it sounds like I'm filling you guys in too much. You did an excellent job, all things considered, and, you know, I hope you keep giving it a try because the games actually get much more complex as the years go by. I hope you guys keep trying and you can expand your gaming knowledge even further. So I did have a question after listening to this episode, and you mentioned the Little Giants so many times. And of all those characters in the Little Giants, you know, there was the kid with the bad allergies, the hotshot kid that Icebox falls in love with and decides she wants to be more girly. Of all these characters, which one would you say you are? I'd like an answer from both of you, and I will definitely check out the games you guys mentioned for me to try. You guys have done a great job. I really enjoyed the show. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Dennis. We asked you to correct us, and damn it, you did. Thank you. I will remember a few of those things. I still think paw near and paw far. I think I was more right.
I think so.
I know if I threw it to my dad near or far, my dad would throw. He'd finish up the run for me. Yeah, that's what I call it. Because dad far and dad near, that sounds ridiculous. It's right. Paw near and paw far.
You don't want to say that at a glory hole. You will be misunderstood.
But
someone will straight up lacerate your urethra. That's hard to say. Your urethra.
Your urethra.
It's difficult.
Mine own urethra. The person that Icebox falls in love with was teen heartthrob Devin Sawa.
Wow.
I remember that because I really like the movie Idle Hands, and he went from being the attractive guy in Little Giants to like a really weird looking adult in Idle Hands. Man, so I think I'm like a reverse Devin Sawa.
What Icebox will do to a man. Man, this is awful. But I relate to Rick Moranis in so many fucking movies. I know he's not one of the kids, but I gotta go with him. Ever since Ghostbusters, I've had a deep emotional connection with Rick Moranis. Plus, he's also, as an actor, like the fact that he won't come back to do Ghostbusters 3, like it's been said over and over again, he's just like, I'm done. That's pretty much me. When I've decided that I'm done with something, I'm fucking done, man.
Nah, bro. Nah.
We got another call from our favorite lord. Our favorite lord of Purdue.
Our favorite lord.
Our one and only lord and savior of Purdue. Mike.
Hey guys, Lord Mike of Purdue here. First, want to apologize for copping out and not answering my own question, so to speak, last week. I guess if I had to choose between the two options, I would watch a porn with my parents just so I could say, hey, did that one. Hey, did that one. Hey, that's where your granddaughter came from. Okay, now getting on to the more pertinent stuff. This week's Would You Rather, brought to you again by Fruitworks, got Would You Rather Burp Confetti or Fart Glitter. I'm choosing on this week's, I'm going to go with Burp Confetti. Get in public and you burp, you can spit it out on the ground. Plus, it makes a good show for the kids. Fart and glitter, it's going to build up and eventually it's going to look like you've got a diaper on. You know, or it's just going to fall down your leg and then you're going to walk around and, you know, it's like you're farting Edward Cullen all over the place. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with burp confetti. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
Thank you for owning up, Lord Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to wonder, like, if you were forced to watch a pornographic film with your parents, that you would remark upon your own sexual history to your parents. Being as like, yes, I have penetrated a female in this position, mother. I once got a girl pregnant while doing that position, father.
And he looks over and is like, that's anatomically not possible. That's a butthole.
I'm glad you. People who were like, wait a minute.
What do you mean? How can
you? Oh.
She must have been a fat girl. By the way, don't ask her afterwards.
What?
Which hole was that? Tyler, I'm going to have to go with fart glitter as my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I can finally live out my dream job of farting on strippers for a living.
Okay. All right.
Fartingonstrippers.com. Trademark. Headbog.
I would go with burping confetti because I feel like I could drink some sort of accelerant and then light my breath on fire.
Okay.
And vomit forth fireballs.
Hmm.
So, yeah, burp confetti. And I could also dress up like Rip Torn.
Well, you're dressed up like Rip Torn right now.
Am I getting the right Rip? Rip Taylor. Rip Torn. Rip Torn is the one. A different Rip Taylor.
We only have two, Tyler, and we fucked it up. We had a 50-50 shot.
Too many fucking rips.
We got another call.
Who called us?
Our buddy Eli.
Oh, okay. Let's listen.
Cat Dog. This is Eli. I just got done listening to the Madden episode, and I've been thinking about sports and video games. Not necessarily sports games, but sports and video games. So I have a question for you guys. What are your top three sports played in video games? Like, you had fun playing them in video games. And that can be, like, fucking Mega Man Soccer, or, like, an individual mini game in California Games, or Blitzball, or whatever the shit it was called in Final Fantasy X. What were your top three sports playing moments in the history of video games? For Tyler's sake, I'm going to go ahead and say that kart racing counts as a sport, but no other type of vehicular racing need be mentioned. Let me know. Love the show. Can't wait to hear your answer to this, and someday your answer to my spoilerific Bioshock question. Bye, guys.
We listed a whole bunch of casino games that are in games earlier. We got that covered.
That's a ponderous question.
Indeed.
Elijah, my number one would have to be Tekken Ball.
Okay.
Fucking loved Tekken Ball. Brandon and I spent, we'd say, many nights drinking Pepsi, playing some Tekken Ball.
I know.
Love Tekken Ball.
I know you love Brandon's for blaming shit on and for playing Tekken Ball.
Yep. Those are my two uses for Brandon's. You want to do one now? We'll go back and forth.
I would like to start.
Roll off three?
I would like to start with one that is not on my three. Okay?
Okay.
Can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Switch it up a little bit.
Yep.
One that is certainly not in my list, but I feel like needs to be mentioned, is bowling in Grand Theft Auto 4. Where you'd be in the middle of a mission, and Cousin Roman would call, "Hey, would you like to go bowling?" No, motherfucker, I just killed three cops, and I've got like a 5-star warrant out. I don't have time for bowling. Okay, maybe next time.
I was writing it down as you said it, Eli, so I'm going to take it off the list. I had Blitzball written down. Mm. I played the shit out of Blitzball.
Yes, I did too. It would be on my list also if Eli hadn't mentioned it.
I'm not sure, without the eject shot, that I would have liked it at all, but I feel like the eject shot really made the game. So, but yeah, I'm not going to use it. As well as Tiny Toons Football.
Right.
I think that's...
We reference that so much that I think it deserves... I'm glad it's on your list.
Automatically. And I guess my last one, I didn't enjoy it all that much. I played it a lot because I wanted the achievement, but the zone ball that you'd play in Dead Space.
Yep, that is on my list. That's my second one.
Okay.
Is basketball in space, in Dead Space.
Wasn't that fun for me, but...
It's at least one that I can recall.
Yeah.
I thought this was a tough question. Yeah. And my favorites are all in Little Big Planet 2. There are a bunch of mini games where they're not specifically sports related, but since you're going to allow kart racing, there are a few where you race mice and stuff like that. And I liked all the mini games in that.
If car smashing's a sport, then Ryu beating up a car in Street Fighter.
It is a sport. Very popular in Thailand. Not so much over here.
Okay. All right. And then I guess NBA Jam doesn't count. That's really the only sports game I've ever just thoroughly enjoyed. So, meh.
Yeah, I had a generic-ass baseball game for Game Boy. I think it may have just been called Baseball. And if we're talking about just regular-ass sports games that we like, I liked that one. You can tell I like very generic sports games. Super Tennis, Baseball.
Pilot Wings.
Right. But thanks for calling, Eli. Hopefully our answers are acceptable.
Yep. And next time we do a special certain episode, we'll definitely field your Bioshock question.
Got another call. This is live from San Diego, I believe.
Oh, shit.
Hi, Pat Boggs. This is Josh of Uniracers fame, calling from San Diego Comic-Con. And I have a question for you guys. So, to kill time, I was reading through the Suikoden wiki, and specifically Suikoden 3. And if you collect all of the characters, all 108 stars, you get sort of a secret ending, or it's actually a playable ending. You play through the villain's side of the story, so you get to see it from their perspective. And although it wasn't really well executed, it was a really cool idea. So I was wondering, which game would you like to see remade or retold through the villain's perspective? And also, kind of a follow-up question, would that be the same type of game? Say, for instance, Final Fantasy VI, if you said Kefka, would it be a RPG? Would you be playing through as like some kind of fucked up first-person shooter as Kefka? How would that best be executed? Thanks for the show, guys. Keep it up. Bye.
Wow, our own Comic-Con investigative reporter.
Mm-hmm. And if you've seen our Facebook page, Dave had some Tadpog business cards printed up, gave them to Josh and Nicole Nance at Hannah.comicon as Tadpog ambassadors.
So if you're a new listener from Comic-Con, welcome to the chaos.
This is a really good question, Josh. It's a really good question. I've got three.
That's a lot.
I can't choose just one. I've got three.
Okay, what are they? They're the same games you listed for Eli's.
Final Fantasy VI, but not as Kefka, as Emperor Gastal.
Okay.
And I feel like it would be like a war simulation.
Okay.
Of you organizing your forces.
Okay. Gastal versus the world. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot.
Another one would be Final Fantasy IV, where you play through as Golbez.
Okay.
And I feel like it would be probably an action RPG. A third person Zelda-like. Yeah.
Okay.
Going through as Golbez, smashing and collecting power.
Okay, cool.
The last one, because we don't know much about him that I would want to see how it got to the point, which is Earthbound playing through as Gygas, because you just know he's this overwhelmingly powerful evil force. And I don't want to ruin anything for you as far as Earthbound goes.
Okay.
But I don't understand Gygas. I don't even understand how this would translate. I don't even know what kind of game it would be to play as Gygas, but I want to see it.
It'd be probably a kart racing game, right?
Probably kart racing. Kart racing or like Black and White, where you're playing like God to certain things.
I'm going to try to match your three, but I'm not prepared. I'm going to say in Final Fantasy VI, I'm going to go that route too, but there's a scene I love in Final Fantasy VI where Sabin, Cyan are asking Kefka to stop, to wait. And he says, "Do I look like a waiter?" So he's not a waiter. He's clearly in food preparation. So this is, I'd like to see Cooking Mama done with Kefka.
In a military camp.
In a military camp, precisely. And for every 5 dishes you make correctly, you get to poison a freshwater reservoir.
Nice.
I'm going to go to the Final Fantasy VI well again, because earlier at dinner we were talking about how popular a certain kind of game is in Europe, and that is a train simulator. So the famous villain from Final Fantasy VI, the Phantom Train, I would like to see the Phantom Train simulator, where you have to schedule the train to stop and pick up all the departed souls and carry them on to the afterlife. And of course, you have to dodge monks who are trying to suplex you.
that's like save it on the tracks, just waiting for you.
I think we're going to have to reroute. The third that I'd like to see remade is I want to see Miss Pac-Man remade from the perspective of one of the ghosts, preferably Pinky or maybe Blinky.
Okay.
And
okay.
The reason being is I think it should be done as a survival horror where this transgender man who's painted in yellow is stalking you through the halls. This really riddled drug addict. Just crunching on pills, just calling you a ghost.
That's really good.
Chasing you around this labyrinth.
That's really, really good. I like that a lot. But thank you, Josh, for calling. I have to say, though, like, I assume you left with your wife. I don't know if you're coming back with her or if you're still with her. But if you called us,
you think they had a horrible?
They could have. I don't know. We went to
Comic-Con and got a divorce in San Diego.
he's trying to kill time. Evidently, she's not talking to him. So if your marriage is still together, if everything's still working out, surely she's right there. I put her on blast last week. Mm-hmm. Eerily silent. Why don't you fucking call us? Just hand her the phone. Hand her the phone. When you hear this next week, hand her the phone.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, hey, wait, there's another message in here.
Okay.
Hey, Tad Pog, it's Nicole calling from sunny San Diego, where I'm at Comic-Con this weekend. I just wanted to call and ask you guys a question. I was wondering, from the SNES games you've played through so far, who is your favorite good guy and who's your favorite bad guy? So that's my phone call. You can now take me out of the eerily silent category. Thanks. Keep it up, guys.
Well, fuck.
Now you feel like an ass, don't you?
Fine, I'm sorry. You handed her the phone, and that was a good question.
That still doesn't answer the question whether they're together or not.
Yeah, we don't know shit.
By the way, I took Josh's phone. So is she off the list?
Yeah.
You gonna take her off?
Yeah, she's off.
Feel like maybe we owe her an apology.
Yeah, sorry, Nicole.
Sorry, Nicole. Okay. Do you have an answer? I barely do.
My favorite good guy is probably the Soul Blazer.
Okay.
Since she specified, if it would have just been all the games we've done, I would say Skullmageddon for my favorite bad guy. Yeah. But that's Double Dragon Neon. This is a PS3 game. So probably going to say the Mongo-ish character from Sunset Riders that had the Iron Horse.
Yes. Okay.
That's probably my favorite bad guy.
Dark Horse?
Dark Horse. Thank you. Dark Horse.
I think that was his name. Man, that's a really, really tough question, Nicole. A good question, but tough. For good guy, I'm going to have to go with Guy from Final Fight.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to take this literally. Even though you cannot play as him in Final Fight, I'm choosing him because he is literally a good guy.
There you go. You can't argue that logic.
And I guess I could also choose him for bad guy because he's not in the game. So he's bad because he's late. But I think I'm going to have to go with Carnage from Maximum Carnage. And I know that's kind of a cop-out because he's not exclusively a video game villain. Mm-hmm. But he's been one of my favorite... He was one of my favorite Marvel villains throughout my adolescence. So I feel like I have to give him that.
Yeah, I'd even think about that. Otherwise, I would have chose Venom. But I'd also put Bomberman up there for favorite good guy.
I could see that. He'd be in my running as well. Along with the Soul Blazer.
Philip Bomberman.
Right. That's all the calls we got.
All right, I got nothing to say either.
No?
Nah, I'm done.
Nothing?
I'm done.
You're done? Don't we have people to thank?
Oh, yeah, I guess we have people to thank. All right, for Facebook shares, I'd like to thank Kevin Link, Nicole Nance, not Josh Nance, Nicole Nance, Lord Micah Perdue, and Jess Docker, Silk Street Post.
Thank you.
For tweets, Nicole Nance, Tony, and Drew.
I like this Nicole lady.
She seems on it.
Mm-hmm.
She seems on it.
Mm-hmm.
Special thanks to Nikki for editing this episode.
Yes.
It's going to be pretty brutal.
Yes, it will. Thank you, darling.
Eerily silent, Tyler Dunnigan. Didn't what? Promote his new episode.
What?
Nothing. Nothing on Facebook.
Well, he did say something that we had to Mario pipe out.
That's true. he broke new ground. That would have figured Sean Miller would have broken, but Tyler Dunnigan did it.
I figured Miller would have gotten 2-1.
Should also think we had some, somebody made a tadpog thong.
Oh, yeah?
So, thank you.
Iva King Hipster.
Iva King Hipster. If that's your real name, Iva King Hipster. Or just merely a title you've taken upon yourself. Remind everybody, 5-star review. We didn't get any this week. Womp womp.
It's very, very sad. I want to say something about the thong, if I may.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say the gun is in your mouth.
Oh, wait. Anyway, I think that may be the first time that on this thong, maybe the first time both of our faces are hovering over female genitalia simultaneously.
Yep. Trying to think. Yep. Yep.
I mean, not.
How close is the close? We'll go with under 1 inch. Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. True. True.
And remind everybody, this month for a five-star review, we're going to give out a Super Mario Galaxy collectible coin.
You didn't run that by me.
It's very nice. Would you like to give out this collectible coin?
I can't say no now. I look like a dick. You put me in a very bad position here.
I did.
Fine, let's do it.
I just reached into that fat package on my own.
Let's do it. I didn't realize Matt's package was so big we had more.
Yeah, we got it so big. We have so much
we
more.
We thought we had reached the end.
He's probably going to take it all back, but for now we've got it.
Right after this episode?
Yep.
Yeah, where not only did we... I wouldn't say we shit on Illusion of Gaia, but we certainly didn't give a glowing recommendation, but we also played a shitload of voicemails.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about Pocky and Rocky 2.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
I like Pocky.
And I like Rocky.
All right.
what we're actually going to do next episode is watch all the Rocky movies while eating Pocky. Bless you.
Thank you. I'm down for that. I've got all of them. I just go buy, like... 5,000 calories worth of Rocky.
Yeah, get on Amazon. We'll have a pallet shipped.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Win a prize.
Don't worry, guys. We will be back next week. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can get an extra slice over at tadpog.com. That's where we've got all the show notes. We'll have questionably funny links there. All the things we reference in this show. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. That's where you can see all these thongs that we're talking about and wonderful conversations that are going on there. Tyler, It's very important that we thank a gentleman named Sycamore Drive.
Okay.
He made the wonderful music that we use as our intro and our outro.
Hopefully he knows we're alive.
You know, I need to reach out to him, let him know we're doing this. It's a track called Moves, and I bet you can find a link to that track in the show notes on tadpog.com. That's the show.
Done.
Sorry, I almost Americanized that. Famous manga artist.
Manga?
Manga.